Bible. Go ahead and go to our Bibles. John chapter 1 tonight. Going to John chapter 1. I'm going to look at something that John the Baptist said that I think is very important to the Christian life tonight. So hopefully you'll get something here tonight. I think I'm going to give you something. I hope it's simple yet profound. And then just a few simple reminders to help you with that. So we can try to do something with that tonight. John the Baptist is a very unusual character in the Bible. And I've always said I think he fits the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament preacher. So he's very interested in that. Interesting in that respect. He was a transition preacher. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he baptized Jesus. And then Jesus, he introduced the Lord's ministry, if you will. So let's look here in John chapter 1. We'll go down to verse 29. Or look at verse 28. We'll start there. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John baptized. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, that's interesting because John's, y'all know John's like 6 months older, but he just said Jesus was before him, right? Because of the Lord's, he's eternal. Verse 31, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. Now, what abode on him? The Holy Spirit. Not necessarily a dove, but he came descending in a gentle way like a dove, and it was the Spirit that came and abode, stayed with Jesus. Verse 33, he says it again, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And then he said in verse 34, And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So there's a whole lot there. And John is said twice that he really didn't know the Lord, but he was given a sign. Now he wanted, before he said to his disciples, before he pointed his finger and said, Behold, there's the Lamb of God, he wanted to get that confirmed. So whenever Jesus came to him and was baptized and he saw the Spirit descending like a dove upon him, that was God's confirmation. Yes, this is the one. You ever wanted to confirm something before you jumped out there and said it, right? So he wanted to make sure that whenever he said, Behold the Lamb of God, this is the Son of God, he wanted to know. He had a confirmation from heaven with that visual manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus, that was him. So, you know, he said twice, I knew him not, but he was just going to be sure about that he did know him. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, the twofold remedy. I want to give you, I'm going to call them twin truths, if you will. Two truths that John the Baptist declared unto us that I think are very, very important for you and me to know how to live the Christian life. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was reading Quiet Talks on Power by S.D. Gordon, and that's what got me to thinking on this and kind of how this message came about. Because he told in his book about how he went along and he would ask somebody, Are you a Christian? And they would say something like, Yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm a very good one. And he said he asked several people the question, and several folks in a row, different people at different times, but he kept getting the same answer. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm a very good one. So then he began to ask himself, well, what's the problem? As he got to thinking about this, Why are these people saying, yes, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm a very good one? Now, I've heard that before, too, by the way. If you've ever witnessed, you've heard it, too. You probably said it yourself. I don't feel like I'm a very good one. So he got to thinking about it. He was like, where is the power of God in the Christian's life that should confirm to us that we belong to God and that God is in our life and at work in our life, so that we don't have to say, I think I'm a Christian, I hope I'm a Christian, or I'm trying to be a better Christian, when the power is available for us to be what God wants us to be. Y'all with me? Is the power of God in our lives? That's very important. Now, so he went on to talk about these twin truths that I'm talking about tonight. And John presented them to us right here. John said two things right here to us that I think every Christian, if we'll get a hold of them, it will help us realize and apply the power of God to our life. Amen. And the two truths, I'll just simply mention them, are this. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And two, you are empowered by the Spirit of Jesus. Those two things, John said. Now, folks, that's important. Let's not just brush over that. If you've been saved and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you're indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, we ought to be able to realize, yes, I'm saved, and yes, I'm serving the Lord, and yes, God is at work in and through my life. Amen? Right? Now, where did he say that? Well, John said in verse 29. Notice what he said in verse 29. This is the first one. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If you've believed on Jesus, guess what? He has taken away and cleansed your sin. You're saved. You don't need to say, I think I'm saved. Hey, if the Lord has washed you in the blood of Jesus, you ought to know it. Amen? That's how you got born again into the family of God, right? So you are cleansed and saved by the blood of Jesus. And then he said at the second part of it, there is the latter part of verse 33. The latter part of verse 33, he talked about the Spirit descending and remaining on him. Notice what he said, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John said, I baptize with water, but he's coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, those two things happened. You were cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus, and then you were baptized, entered in by, and filled with, and empowered every day by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Those two twin truths, those are two things that go together right there. And we need to get a hold of it. So instead of everybody saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, I think I'm a Christian, I'm not a real good Christian, if we'd get a hold of this, we've been cleansed and saved, and we're continually being cleansed every day by the blood of Jesus, we ought not be wondering about it. Amen? And if we're indwelt and by the Holy Spirit, and He's working in us and working in our life every day, we ought to have some assurance that God is with us. Amen? So I think it's pretty important, these things that he talks about. So he said, you're cleansed by the blood. Now, a lot of people feel like a bad Christian because why? Instead of relying on the cleansing that took place, they're taking the religious approach and they're trying to be a good Christian. They're trying to be a better person. They're trying to make themselves good enough to get into heaven. They don't realize their sins have already been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. I mean, once the blood of Jesus washes your sins away, they're gone. You're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint in the sight of God. But sometimes we don't get it. So we need to realize, I can't, but He already did. Amen. What does that mean? I cannot get rid of my sin, but He did it on the cross. And it was activated in my life the day that I believed on Him and trusted Him to be my Savior. He cleansed you and made you a forgiven saint and child of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. All your sin, your past sin, your present sin, your future sin, it's all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a continual cleansing. Yes, you will sin again, but you're a saint of God, and you just need to, we talked about this recently, about 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, He said that like two verses after He said this verse, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth is a continual word. He's always cleansing us, but we have been once and for all washed in the blood of Jesus for salvation, right? So that truth that Jesus is the one, He said He's the Lamb of God. He'll make the sacrifice. You don't need to try and try and try, and you don't need to make any sacrifice. Jesus is the Lamb of God who already took away the sin of the world. Again, by faith, it's activated in your life and mine, and it continually is cleansing us. We don't get saved over and over again. It's continually cleansing us, though. But then the second part is, you're not only washed in the blood, saved by the blood of Jesus, your sins taken away. Second part is, you're empowered by His Holy Spirit. This is all introduction. I'll get to my points in a little bit, all right? I'll give you a few simple points here in a few minutes. But we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, He said there at the latter part of verse 2. Now, He tells us in verse 32, I meant 33, but now He said in verse 32. John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on Him. And then verse 33, it says, remaining on Him. Do you realize that Jesus Christ did His work and lived His life in the power, relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God? He cast out demons. He defeated the devil. He lived a pure, righteous, sinless life. He overcame temptation. He did His work. He did it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. He did it as an example of how to live the Christian life for those who would believe upon Him. He said many times that He did His work in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And now the Holy Spirit works in us. So John said, I baptize with water. That's good. That's symbolism. But that's not salvation. When you get baptized by the fire, he said, by the Holy Ghost, you get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I know we're Baptists. We're not supposed to talk about the Holy Ghost, right? We don't need the Holy Ghost. That's what I heard some Pentecostals say that on radio one time, then Baptists don't need the Holy Ghost. Well, we almost act like we don't sometimes, but we need the Holy Spirit of God. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, and a matter of fact, the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit, you are none of His. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, you're not even saved. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. When you got saved, He moved in. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. That's what I'm talking about, power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, of course, he was talking about Pentecost, but after Pentecost, after that point, whenever somebody got saved, the Spirit came upon or in to indwell them, enable them, and empower them. You need to rely upon the Spirit of God. I said I was reading S.D. Gordon's book. He mentioned this. He said what is promised in the Gospels is experienced in the book of Acts. That's true. They were promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, and in the book of Acts, the Spirit came, and guess what? The early church operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, the direction and the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, right? Then he went on to say, Jesus is dominant in the Gospels, and the Spirit of Jesus is dominant in the book of Acts, and thereafter in the church life and in the Christian life. That's pretty good. You know, do we see a change in the Apostle Peter from the Gospels to the book of Acts? Absolutely. I like Peter. I mean, he did a lot of things he shouldn't have done, said a lot of things he shouldn't have said. And he though, is the one that even though he denied the Lord, cursed and swore that he didn't know the Lord, those denials of the Lord, Jesus restored him. And then on Pentecost, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that preaches, and 3,000 souls get saved. You go through the book of Acts, he's the initial leader, if you will, among the apostles. Later, the Apostle Paul kind of took over from there. But he was a different person. And then he wrote two great books of the Bible. What happened? There was a change in his life once the Holy Spirit came in. Do you realize today, dear friend, dear Christian, that the change that God made in Peter is the same that he wants to achieve in your life? That same working of the power of the Holy Spirit that changed Peter, he grew in the Lord, he got stronger in the Lord, he got wiser in the Lord, right? He matured in his faith and in the Lord, and God used him more and more. And he got past some of those stumbling and tripping up. He got past some of that. Why? He grew in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, folks, when you know the blood of Jesus is there, and you know the indwelling Holy Spirit is there, then the question becomes, why are so many struggling in the Christian life? I think it's because they have not grasped the power of these two truths right here. They have not come to realize or apply to their life the power or the truth that they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and empowered by the Spirit of God. And until we realize this, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to struggle along in our feeble efforts. And somebody's going to say, are you saved? Are you a Christian? You're going to say, yeah, I believe I am. I think I got saved, but I'm not really good at it. Well, you need to realize your sins have been washed away by the blood, and you're indwelt and empowered by the Spirit. And that'll make all the difference in the world in your Christian life. Amen? It'll do everything. So how can we live in these twin truths here? The power of God is lacking in so many Christians. You know, I know a lot of Christians, they're not growing up in the Lord. They're not growing in their spiritual life. They have no power. They have no faith. They don't have the knowledge. And we say this, you're either a weak, carnal Christian, or you've never really truly been saved because the evidence just is not there. Now, I know a lot of Christians, they're professing Christians. They say they're saved. They say they remember when they got saved, but they have never realized the power of God in their life. Now, if they're truly saved or not, they got to settle that in their own heart. But I like to be able to know that some things have happened in my life to where I can say that was the Lord working in my life, right? In and through my life. I told you I got right with God when I was almost 17 years old, and it was such a drastic change, I wondered if that's when I got saved. Well, I believe I got saved when I was 9, like I was a child, because as I look back from 9 to 16, even though I strayed during those latter years there, I believe I could sense that the Lord had been in my life the whole time. And then what I did at 17, almost 17, is I just surrendered everything to God. And there was a revival, if you will, or a fullness of the Spirit at that point in my life. But hopefully we can say ever since then, we can sense the Spirit of God. And we know without a doubt the blood of Jesus has washed away our sins. And we don't have to guess at this thing. We don't have to live in such a struggle in our Christian life. So I'm going to give you a few steps here. These are going to be basic, simple things that I believe if done faithfully, they'll help any Christian live within this twofold remedy to get the power that we need working in our life. I'm going to give you basic stuff from here on out that I believe will help you maintain and apply these two truths. The blood of Jesus has saved you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you, right? Amen. Let me give you four or five things. Number one, love regular Bible reading. Amen. You need to love regular Bible reading. Now, I'll say this, look, without the Bible, you know why so many Christians don't know they're saved? They don't read the Bible and they're weak and they've never grown in the knowledge of what's in this book. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, a lot of folks have never learned that they don't have a desire and a hunger for the milk of the word, much less the meat of the word. I know some people, maybe they are saved, but I've told them this before. You say you're saved, you tell me you're saved, but there's no evidence, and you know there's no evidence, but yet you say you're saved. Maybe you just hadn't been reading your Bible, you hadn't been studying your Bible, you hadn't been feeding on the Word. You have not grown up in the Lord at all. Now, hopefully they can start reading their Bible and doing the things that I'll talk about tonight and realize they are saved or realize they're not and get it right. Amen? But there needs to be a desire for regular Bible reading. Now, the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 1, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that means pure and holy ones, with all that are in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, that verse there says, you are a saint of God. Now, that's positional sanctification. Now, let me say this again. In our text, verse 29, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, that's salvation. In verse 33, baptized with the Holy Ghost, that's sanctification. All right? You're saved, and then you're saved by the Word, you're saved by the Gospel and faith in it, but then you grow as you get into the milk and the meat of the Word of God on a regular basis, right? But a lot of folks are saying, well, I hope I'm saved, I think I'm saved, just not a very good one. Have you been reading your Bible very much? Well, no, not really. Well, that explains a lot of the problem right there. A lot of people just don't even know what the Bible says. They're trying the religious approach. They're trying to be good Christians, and I'll make it to heaven, and they don't know what the Bible says. Look, you're going to make it because if you understand the Bible says, you've already been washed in the blood of Jesus. And you don't need to be struggling and trying. You just need to be trusting the indwelling, empowering Spirit of God who is there. Amen. Now, where do I learn that? Just read your Bible. If they just learn to read the Bible, they'll see these truths are right there in the Bible. Folks, we know the Bible is not just for our information. It's for our daily and regular and ongoing transformation. Right? Y'all with me? Well, somebody said this a while back, not here, but about, well, you know, once you read it, you've read it. You know, that's just like any other book. Once you've read it, you've read it, right? This isn't like any other book. You read this one, and you reread this one, and you read it again, and you read it the rest of your life, because it is the food that empowers your faith. It's your spiritual food, right? So you got to be reading the Bible. If you're going to have any assurance and any quality of life as a Christian, you got to be in the Bible. Y'all with me on that? Amen? You got to be in the Bible. You got to be, all right? The Bible, number two. Pray fervently and frequently. Now, when you pray, folks, listen, you're cleansed again and empowered by being in the presence of the Lord. Y'all believe that? If you ever get in the closet to pray and spend any time there, you sense and are reminded of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the presence of God, right? Doesn't the Bible teach there's power in prayer? You know, whenever Jesus overcame temptation, he was doing a couple of things. One was he'd been praying. And the other was he was quoting the Bible to the devil. And through Scripture and prayer, he had power. So through Scripture and prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, he overcame the temptation, right? Same way you and I will do it. There has to be prayer for there to be power in our Christian life. The Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mean, the obvious conclusion of that is, if we're not praying, we're fainting. We're getting beat up by the devil. We're getting knocked around by the devil. We don't have any strength. We don't have any power. Why? We have no prayer in our life. So if you want to maintain this truth that you're washed in the blood and empowered by the Spirit, you need to stay in the Bible and you need to stay in prayer. Right? Number three, the third one I'll just mention is you need to stay in a good church. Amen. Somebody talked to me about this today, about Christians that are in, you know, a lot of Christians are in bad churches. You know why they don't realize they're in bad churches? Because they don't read the Bible themselves. The Bible talked about the Bereans were more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Some people can sit in a bad church, and it's not a Bible-believing, not a Bible-preaching church, and they don't even know or realize. They're just taking what they're being given, what they're being fed, and they don't even realize something's not right about this. If they're reading the Bible itself and being fed by their, on their own, they'll realize when, hey, something's not right there. But if you're in a good church, a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church, amen, it'll strengthen you on it. Aren't you glad you're in a good church? Take advantage of a good church. Attend it. Be there. Get involved in it. Sit under the preaching of it. We get together on Sunday morning and a couple times Sunday morning, Sunday night, again on Wednesday night. It helps us. Amen. It helps us. And God, and the Lord said, preach the word. And the Lord said, not only preach the word, He said, and I want you people to be there to hear it preached. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake it. He said, go there and be there. Someone has said, a Christian without a church is like a soldier without an army. Kind of on an island by yourself. You don't have your support system. You don't have your place of service and all of those things, right? Now, if you're in church, you know what you're going to hear every now and then? You're going to be reminded you're washed in the blood and you're empowered by the Spirit. The same two truths that John the Baptist said Jesus was here to accomplish. He's the Lamb that's going to take away the sin of the world. His blood will wash away your sin, and His Spirit will empower you once you're baptized by the Holy Ghost. You read your Bible, you're reminded of that. You pray, you're reminded of those truths. You're in church, you hear those truths again, and it's activated in your life, right? Let me give you this one, number four. Number four is this: witness often. Now I say that because Acts 1:8 talks about you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses, right? You know what? Does the Bible say you're to let your light so shine? Is that in the Bible? Are you the salt? Are you to be the salt of the earth? You're the salt of the earth. What do you do as the salt of the earth? You steam the wounds of sinful people all around you, and they don't like it, and they get mad at you. You preserve, doesn't salt preserve? You preserve morality in the land, amen, right? You're shining your light. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're a witness on a regular basis. Isn't that the mission of every church and every Christian? Empowered by who? The Holy Spirit. Now, look, what are you witnessing about? Those same two truths. I've been washed in the blood. My sins are washed away. Yours can be as well. Amen. Well, how can I live the Christian life? The Holy Spirit will be given unto you, and He will enable you and empower you and help you to live the Christian life like He does us, right? That's what you're witnessing of. Those same two truths that John presented that Jesus came to accomplish. He's doing it every day in our life. And I believe our witnessing reminds us we're empowered for this mission of being witnesses of the Lord. And we're reminded, why did He leave us here? To be the salt of the earth and light of the world. To be witnesses unto Him. Look, if the Lord had said, every time somebody gets saved, they're going straight to heaven, I'd have been okay with that. That'd be great. I wouldn't still be down here struggling with some stuff, right? But the Lord said, no. I want you to, John 17, He prayed, Father, leave them down here. Don't take them out of the world. Leave them here. I'm like, what? Why'd you say that? I need them here. They're going to be my witnesses. They're going to carry on my work. And the Lord's up in heaven. By the way, He's still doing the work. He's just doing it through all of us now. He's doing it through all of His churches now. And He's up there doing what? Praying and interceding for us that we'll be strong. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. He said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. He prayed for His restoration as well, and He got it too. Amen? He went through some bad things there, but He got restored. And he grew, and the Lord used him. So I'm saying witness often. What does that do for you? Bible and prayer and church and witnessing all remind us constantly we're washed in the blood and we're empowered by the Spirit. Keeps those two truths right there all the time. The twofold remedy that this world needs. Jesus will wash away your sins, and the Holy Spirit of God to come be your comforter and your guide and your help. Amen. Number five is this. And I've said Bible, prayer, church, witness. Told you it'd be simple. Number five is this. Daily yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily yield to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk. Amen. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. He gave an illustration right there. He said, now if you're full of wine, you're full of alcohol, it's going to control your mind, it's going to control your speech, it's going to control your actions. Isn't that true? Somebody's filled with wine, alcohol, all that's controlled by the substance, right? He said, no, I'd rather you have your mind, your mouth, and your actions controlled by the Spirit. You'll be under the control of the Holy Spirit if you're filled with Him. Not filled with alcohol, not filled with drugs, not filled with this world, but filled with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now look, you're already indwelt. But He says you can be filled and you can be filled again. There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit as far as salvation goes, but there can be many fillings. Just like your gas tank runs low. You can run low on the Spirit. Now, somebody said this. It's not how much of the Spirit you have. It's how much of you the Spirit has.
Amen. That's right.
Right? We've all got the Holy Spirit. But how much of ourselves is yielded to Him? So that's what I said. You need to daily yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, in Galatians 5, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got that option every day. You can yield every day to the flesh, the old sinful, wicked flesh. You can yield to that, or you can walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. Now, you've still got the old sinful flesh, and now you have the new man, the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're also still indwelt by your own sinful flesh. And every day, the Bible says they're at war with each other. Right? And you know it's true. Amen? That's why every day, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to regularly be in church. You need to be out there witnessing. And you need to yield every day to the power of the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to His control, and to His help, and to His wisdom, and to His guidance, and even to His comforting as you go through trouble and trials. The twofold remedy. It's the twin truth. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit of Jesus. He even said in his book one statement, I've never heard it said like this, but he said, Jesus' other self, referring to the Holy Spirit. He's one. Amen. So the blood of Jesus on the cross washes away your sin, but then His Spirit fills you. Amen. Never heard it put like that, His other self, but you are filled by the Lord. You know, folks, if we don't realize and apply this, somebody's going to say one day, are you a Christian? And you're going to say, yeah, just don't feel like I'm a very good one. Has God been at work at your life? Oh, I work real hard. I'm working at it. No. Is He working in your life? Is He at work in you? It's not just what we're doing. It's what He's doing in and through us. Amen? Otherwise, we're struggling to get it done. And when we're struggling to get it done, you know who's winning? The flesh. That's why we yield to the Spirit. You ever see a yield sign? You know what a yield sign means? Some folks don't. Right? Some folks don't yield. You got to yield to this thing. Don't do like the one in front of me the other day that's supposed to yield, just yield in the free-flowing thing, and they just stopped. Just stopped. I'm like, and then I got in the flesh. That'll happen to you. Amen? But you know, sometimes the old devil wants to just make you stop and halt. And you're like, you're supposed to keep on going. Amen. You know, you keep flowing. Let the Holy Spirit keep flowing in you and through you. Amen. So whenever John here, in verse 29, he talked about salvation, and then in verse 33, he talked about sanctification. Those are the twin truths that will help you be a good Christian. That will help you answer the question, yes, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm sure, and I'm serving the Lord. Amen. And I'm looking for Jesus to come back any day now, amen? Amen. How many people do answer that way, though? Yeah, I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. And I prayed that prayer one time, but I had never done me no good. Well, maybe you didn't get saved, or maybe you did get saved, and you've never learned to apply these truths. You've never learned what the Bible said. Maybe you hadn't been in the Bible in prayer and church and witnessing and yielding to the Holy Spirit. I told you, those are simple, basic things. I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop, the Wednesday night crowd. But we got to be reminded, these are two truths. These are two main truths, the twofold remedy that are the basis of salvation and sanctification. But these steps I gave you kind of keep it before us all the time to keep that activated so we can apply it. And then the Lord can do what He wants to do. Otherwise, we're struggling too, right? Fighting in the flesh, walking in the flesh, when the Lord wants us to be just letting Him do the work. Amen. Comforting us, guiding us, directing us, empowering us. Amen. Aren't you glad you washed in the blood tonight? You don't have to try to get to heaven. Jesus did that. Aren't you glad you're indwelt and can be empowered by the Spirit of God? That's how you live the Christian life. And here John is, before it even gets started, he's telling us what Jesus is coming to do. And what He came to do. Amen. Thank God for it. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. I hope you'll get something out of that will help you tonight. Dear Father, speak to our hearts. Encourage our hearts. Remind us, Lord, of how this thing works. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for what John said. Thank You for what You did. Thank You for the truths of it, Lord. And I pray, God, You'd help us to get a hold of these things so that we can live, God, the victorious have a Christian life and have Your power upon it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you to those who have watched us tonight and appreciate you watching tonight. And those that are here, appreciate you being here. Amen. Yeah, I hope that'll be something for you there. That, like I said, I told you where I was just reading a book and it hit me and I took off with that. It's just a great reminder, I believe, of how the Christian life works. Amen. What it's about. Salvation and sanctification. Amen. The blood and the Spirit. Thank God for it. All right, if you'll get your prayer sheets out tonight, we'll take some time here to share some prayer requests and pray before we leave this evening. All right?